Yeah.
We're ready to go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the As the Rhyme Goes On podcast. My name is John Davis.
My name is Nalami Mangus, and today we have returning guests with us, CJ Willard.
Hey!
One of the best guests, maybe if not the best guest we've had.
That's super nice. I'm super happy to be here. I love doing this podcast. It's always fun.
Yeah. Always good. We got, we're starting a run this week of a pretty hot summer.
Yep.
Of albums we've got ahead of us. There's probably, I think, starting with this, we probably got about another 6-7 weeks
of insane stuff.
It's a big hip-hop summer.
Yeah, big names, all heavy hitters. Uh-huh. Not a debut album amongst the heavy hitters that we're talking, is there? It's all established.
Yeah, it's all sequels.
Yeah, it's...
Or, you know, fifth albums from people and stuff like that,
And then that collaboration between Cudi and Kanye that zero fucking people want to hear. So that'll be good.
What? Yeah, exactly. I completely disagree with that. I absolutely want to hear that. Yes. Because I've been yearning for the return of Cudi for like almost 10 years now.
Here's my thing, though. He'll never return. But my contention with that is he's the exact same as he always was. Everybody just moved on from it.
You think so?
That's what I believe.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, some of those albums that he put out in the last couple years are super bad.
What was that last one? Was it like Smooth Saiyan Dragon Slayer or whatever
I don't know.
Was, to me, that sounded like previous Cudi albums. I just didn't care anymore.
What was the one where he was like, oh, I see. The one where it's like a pink album cover.
I don't know. I'm looking at
it's like
right now.
Black and he's pink. Like he's
Passion, Pain, and Demon Slam.
What did I say?
I don't know.
But it has a song
Smooth
with Willow Smith.
Dragon Slam. That's what I said.
And then Speeding Bullet to Heaven was really bad.
Speeding Bullet to Heaven was no good.
And then was it Indicud before that?
Indicud before that, which
I liked.
Like
Indicud.
Either.
I liked Indicud. I liked not a lot of people.
There's a couple songs on it. We talked about this a little bit the other night. Yeah. That Just What I Am song with King Chip is really good.
Yeah.
Although King Chip's verse is way better on it than Cudi's.
And
but I
don't know.
I think. If Cudi maybe the last time I listened to it, and I was like, "This is fine." I just think I had moved on.
Yeah,
as a Cudi fan.
Yeah, probably.
Because his first albums are.
That's how I felt when I saw him live.
Really?
Yeah.
At Red Rocks.
Was it not that good?
Well, it was like yeah, this. It's I don't know. Felt exactly like that. It's like I like these songs, but
I just for whatever reason I wasn't into it anymore.
It might be just the time and place.
Could be.
Yeah, it could be wherever you're at.
Just
live.
Doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
also I'm not in high school.
Yeah, Cudi's like strangely high school, isn't he?
Yeah,
I was 26 when I was way into him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And okay. I still was
well, you're
like,
young at heart.
That's true.
Yeah, you're...
I'm young at thanks.
Yeah, 80, no problem.
You're 82. But.
I went to high school with Cudi's dad. Uh-huh. A lot of people know this. Uh-huh. But and so I could tell you all about young kid Cudi. So the album today, speaking of Cudi.
Daytona.
Good music.
Yeah.
Pusha T from... The Clips, even though we haven't had a new Clips album, I think over a decade.
Yeah, since like 2004 or 2005 or something like that.
Oh, no, 7.
Which
one? Till the Casket dropped.
That was in 07?
It had Popeyes.
Yeah, because,
might have been 08.
Yeah, because he went at Lil Wayne, which we'll get to, but he went at Lil Wayne at 06 with the Clips.
06, Mr. Me Too.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be a beef heavy episode, I feel like.
This is going to take it over. Initial thoughts on the album, just overall, yay or nay?
I fucking love this.
It's great.
I agree.
This is awesome. I think this is really, really good.
It's great. One of the things I do want to focus on, a recurring theme as we go through, is the choice of 7 songs.
Yeah.
Is how that actually affects
the album,
the listening of the album, the overall opinion of the album.
Did you read? I read an interview that Pusha did yesterday. Yeah, we're recording this the day after this album's come out,
too.
So this album's very fresh.
Yep.
An interview that I did yesterday with NPR, of all places, which I thought was sort of funny.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how, like, it was... So, a big part of this is... I know you guys have had a Kanye ban.
Yeah,
lifted.
We
lifted.
Yeah,
we were in the
for
moment.
This summer.
Yeah, we were in the moment.
For this climate is just like for everything that's happening, you got to talk.
I know.
Talk about him.
So, so he produced this entire Kanye produced this entire album, and so there have been a bunch of interesting stories that have come out about like how that went down. Like he came to him with a bunch of tracks, and Kanye said, "Let me just scrap it," and they started over. And then originally the album was going to be like 10 to 12 tracks, like normal.
The album got scrapped like. It wasn't like 3 different albums recorded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think some of the stuff got repurposed. That's what it sounded like from that interview that I read.
Yeah.
But apparently the 7 songs was like was Kanye's
thing.
Yeah, like he basically insisted on it.
Yeah. Well, because everything is seven songs that he's releasing. Tiana Taylor, now.
Oh, they're all seven album, songs. Kid it's the thing he's doing.
The original track list to this that we saw with Kanye playing the piano, it was eight.
There was one that was dropped. So, like, 4 days ago or whenever it was when they. When they dropped the older art for the
the album cover changed. Yeah, and they dropped a song.
What was the old album cover?
I don't think it was
no, it was there. It was Push Like Sitting in a Chair.
Okay,
oh, was it?
It was kind of
because it was going to be called King Push.
Yeah, it was kind of a cool looking thing. Yeah, yeah, for years I'm happy it's not called King Push. That it was the most creatively dead.
I agree.
I mean, King. How many times can we put King in front of something in rap?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, move the fuck on, guys. Yeah, yeah. It's we're not. This isn't England. Nobody.
No one gives a shit.
The fucking royal family.
Well, also, it's like it's a similar thing with Detox. When you have an album that's anticipated for so long, and it's not going to be exactly what people expect, it's better to just not name it that.
Yeah, and what's funny is I did see somebody on Twitter say, well, are we going to get King Push? It's like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
We get the next album.
It's just words.
It's the title of the album.
Yeah.
And you still see that with Detox. The name Daytona is interesting to me, because when you hear Daytona, what do you think?
Daytona 500?
I think of NASCAR.
Yeah.
And so
or that's Indy 500.
No, Daytona 500
Daytona,
is a thing, too.
Daytona's a thing.
I'm not it, man.
I grew up like 45 minutes from Daytona.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're from down there.
Yeah. And so I don't. For me, I don't automatically think of NASCAR, though. I realize that that's what most people do.
Right.
But for me, Daytona is a party city.
It's spring break.
It's a spring break city. So like it's and it's also where they do the Black College Reunion, which is like a huge party every year of like basically like black fraternities and stuff like that. They all go exactly at Johnson.
He's doing
the Omega thing above his head.
The Omegas.
Like a football player just scored a touchdown. So like Daytona is like kind of an iconic party place, but I was actually doing a little reading on that.
Yeah, where did this come from?
It's the name of his favorite Rolex model, the Rolex Daytona.
That is so bougie.
Yeah.
I mean, this album's bougie.
It is.
It's bougie and it's grimy. That's the thing I like about it.
Which is kind of what...
It's grimy.
Which is kind of what Pusha T's all about.
Yeah.
It is. And real quick, can we go to Daytona for spring break? Because that Black College Reunion sounds tight as fuck.
Yeah, dude. Daytona's wild. Daytona, you can drive your car on Daytona Beach. So people just drive cars on the beach and like party out of their cars. It's wild.
We're going to do our first on location from Daytona.
Go-to show?
Yeah, John's going to start drinking again.
Yeah, I'll fucking totally drink if we go to Daytona during all of that.
All right.
This album was probably some of my favorite Kanye West beats in about a decade.
Yeah.
They're so fucking crazy.
They're fucking sample heavy, which I love.
And the samples are super eclectic.
Yeah.
Like you cannot, it's not, you know, he's not doing Jackson 5.
Right.
Franklin. It's like these weird ass like German prog rock.
Yeah.
And some soul. There's some soul samples too.
Yeah. It reminds me almost of how, not sonically, but almost like how a Q-Tip sampled. Mm-hmm. Album would come as you like, where the fuck did he, like some of them are very obvious, but some of them you're like, where the fuck did he get this? And really, you know, for as weird as Kanye's been acting, these beats aren't weird.
No,
they're really fucking creative. And I just, you would hear a lot of these beats, I'd hear them and I'd be like, fuck
yeah
this is great.
Well, because that's the thing, like when Charlotte, before all the, you know, him going
what
on
he
Twitter,
did,
yeah,
but he was like talking about like, I don't agree with what he's saying, but he seems level headed. You see what I mean? Like Charlamagne was saying that before that interview came out, before
a lot of people have said that since too. They're like, no, he's fine.
So it's just he doesn't know how to talk in front of a camera. That's
To me, he sounds like a fucking jackass still. But,
but that's another thing that I really liked is like when Pusha T was doing his press run, which gave me, it was like, okay, now these albums are real.
I didn't believe it till he spoke.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Once he spoke, it was like, oh, okay, this is a real thing. Yeah. And then he was like, oh yeah, I don't agree with anything Kanye's saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like. And that made me feel like way better about everything.
There was a good bit of that NPR interview that I was referencing earlier where he was talking about that. I'll see if I can pull it up.
Yeah.
I was like,
real interesting.
With Nas and Push, in the back of my mind, I would have been like, dude, you're going to kill my album sales.
Yeah.
Like, my album success is tied to you.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
But I don't know.
I think it's fine. I think enough time is people forget so quick now.
People forget so quick. I think Kanye is of the mind of like, all press is good press.
Oh,
probably
100%. Yeah. That's his whole career.
Yeah,
his whole career.
I mean,
bad
look at the
press.
Album cover of this.
Yeah,
Whitney Houston.
People were kind of like upset about it on Twitter. I think it's awesome.
Really, I my first reaction was it was tasteless.
Yeah, so that's what a lot of people seem to think.
That was my first reaction.
I didn't get that reaction at all. I was like, that is dope. I mean, it was a picture that was released to the public already. Like, it's not right. like a, I don't know, it's like not something they snuck in there and took themselves.
Right. Yeah. But given how she died,
yeah,
given the subject matter that dominates a Pusha T album, mm-hmm. and then given that she has kids.
No, her kid's dead too. Didn't her kid die too?
Well, I... Oh, then never mind.
Yeah, it's fine, right?
Yeah, how about giving Bobby Brown still a
Yeah.
Hey, look, Bobby Brown did a song with Ja Rule called Thug Lovin' that didn't get a lot of love because 50 Cent and Eminem were killing Ja Rule's career at the time, yeah. but the song was dope. And Bobby Brown doesn't fuck around.
Yeah.
No, Bobby doesn't. But,
so are you guys, you like the album cover, CJ?
Yes, I do.
I'm mixed.
Okay.
Like, I was like, oh, that's controversial. But once I remember that image is from like 06.
Yeah.
And she died in like 2010. You know what I mean?
It's yeah. Not, it wasn't like an image taken at the crime scene.
Oh, is that right? See, I didn't know that.
No,
okay.
No.
Then I'm less, I'm not as critical of it. The only thing I would be critical of it for from a branding marketing perspective, is it at all reflective of anything on this album?
Drugs.
Yeah, drugs.
Maybe the fame.
Yeah.
I also think in a straight like aesthetic sense, like looking at it, uh-huh. I think there's like even though it shows like this like scene of depravity, the colors are kind of luxe.
It's
like,
very artsy.
Yeah, there's a gold faucet and there's this like sort of like pink stain on the front and the white cabinets. Like there's something really like artful about this photograph, I think.
I think so.
Even though it depicts, you know, something, you know, kind of twisted. Yeah.
Rough. But,
that's kind of who Pusha T is.
I think it's on brand.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes I've ever heard is something that Pusha T said like in the press tour for this. Like he was asked like, so like, you know, like who's this album for basically? And he's like, it's for my fans, high taste level luxury drug rap fans. And I want that on my tombstone. High taste level luxury drug rap fan.
Yeah.
That is like exactly the kind of hip hop that I like.
Yeah, that is you.
It really is. Like it's exactly the kind of shit that I really, really get into and really, really like.
That's fucking tight. Should we dive?
Yep.
Yeah, man.
If you know, you know, which is such a good intro.
Amazing.
It is. Yeah. If you know.
I was at a club, or not a club, but a bar last
club.
Night. Yeah, I hate saying that.
You up in the club? No
yeah,
line?
I was up in the club. See, I can edit anything I can edit anything I want, so boom, I never said that.
But, yeah, you can.
But yeah, I was at this bar last night, and the DJ, like, he, like, dropped this shit.
Yeah.
In the middle of his set. Oh, my God. It goes
really?
So fucking hard. Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Is this a... Did they release a single?
No
singles.
They just
so this is the one that's just getting a lot of play, it sounds like.
It's the first track on the album.
Yeah,
so
I think that's a lot of it.
Star.
Yeah.
No, it's really cool. It doesn't have a... it's very polished, but it doesn't have this mainstream feel to it. It feels like it was released like for the music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not trying to appeal to it. We're making the fucking songs we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I took from it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Really straightforward song. I mean, really...
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. There was some. I'm looking it up right now, but there were some lyrics I really liked on this track.
He's talking shit.
Yeah,
he's talking shit, and that set the tone for the album, because I think he's been. You know, he kind of comes and goes, and I think there's a lot of people out there that may not know him. So he needs to reintroduce. Like, no, I'm hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like I think he likes.
Yeah, even like the like, you know, he basically just gets right into it with like the. You know, like the kind of classic hip hop mafia referencing and drug stuff. Like the first line of the first verse, like this thing of ours, oh, this thing of ours, La Cosa Nostra actually means our thing. So like that's like, so like when actual Italian mafia people are talking about the mafia, they don't call it the mafia. They call it our thing.
Cosa Nostra.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we got to get together for our thing. Like it's like real, real casual, like the way that they speak about it. So like, that's like where that comes from, which I think is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good. I mean, you know, there's a Sosa reference in the first verse. You know, like,
was he
Scarface.
Talking about? Okay, who is he talking about?
Oh, this is
Sosa's the bad guy in Scarface.
Oh, duh.
Yeah.
I was an idiot. I was thinking of.
Chief Keef.
Yeah.
But
he has a line about like everyone gets a bird, like how he's like
Oprah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I only love it looked up to Sosa. You all get the bird. This N-word Oprah.
Oh, that's so fucking funny.
It's great.
Yeah. And I like the references early on where he's kind of, you know, he's, this ain't the same type of hits, boy. You know, he says, he's in Paris for hit, boy. This ain't the same type of hits, boy. He's purposely separating himself from his clique.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah,
he's
basically.
He's saying, I get what you want from good music. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull my strap
out. He's the president of good music.
He's the fucking president of the United States as far as I'm concerned.
Bush for president?
But this is a
if Kanye puts Pusha T on the ballot as his vice president, does that change your voting at all? Would you vote for Kanye and Pusha T?
I mean, it depends. If it's Kanye, Pusha T, Donald Trump, Mike Pence, like if those are the two versing each other,
then yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's yeah. The lesser of two evils. But yeah. If we actually have like a real politician who knows what the fuck
yeah,
is
that's fair.
Happening,
yeah,
I'm going for then I'm going to vote for them.
That's super but fair. It's,
I like the chorus of this because you don't even realize it's a chorus until it repeats.
Like a verse. Yeah.
Like once it repeats, then you're like, oh, that must be the chorus.
Bricklayers and Ball and Shorts.
Even the next song is exactly like
that. Honestly, the choruses on this song, like some of the songs have like a sample chorus, and even but the ones where it's like either Pusha or like one of the features or whatever, like all barely feel like choruses. Like this whole album feels like long verses, which is cool.
When he's in that, like we talked about it with Royce, some guys are like very polished verse writers, but the chorus can trip them up.
Yeah.
The hook, and that's where 50 Cent's genius.
We've talked about that before, yeah.
But with him, he's kind of Pusha's kind of actually already always been there too. Is it's like, how do you get that hook?
Do you guys know who Alex Wiley is? He's a rapper. He's out of the Midwest somewhere.
I've heard of him.
He's not very well known. He's like come up on Spotify playlists of mine and stuff like that. He is, for like a young rapper, is incredible at writing hooks. Like I can't believe that like people aren't getting him to write hooks. Like big people aren't getting, like they are very, very good. Like I would highly recommend listening to some of Alex Wiley's like solo albums.
I've heard people talk. He's got a fan base that's like clicking up for him.
Yeah.
And
okay. Yeah.
And his hooks are incredible. Like I would really like after talking about 50 on one of these previous podcasts with you guys, I was listening to him and it like reminded me of that. Like they're just like short and they're catchy and he's got a good enough voice just to sing them and they're really good.
Mm-hmm. That's get them hooks.
Yeah.
Hooks are huge.
Hooks are huge.
Yeah. What's the first song? Dope as shit.
Second song. This is my favorite song on the
album. I think
it's
mine too.
Yeah. It's got the best opening line.
The beat is so good.
That's what I said. This beat is.
Are you talking? Wait, when opening line is it the drug dealer Benz? Dude, that shit's so cool to me.
I mean, that's fine, but I like the.
This ain't a wave or a phase.
Yeah, all that shit fades.
That's so fucking.
Uh-huh. It's him coming back around to, I'm not. I still got the gun.
Yeah.
Like I don't care if like I'm not supposed to talk about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I still got the heat.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a super like drug heavy content. Like this whole verse is about drugs, basically.
Yeah.
Ovens full of cakes that he bakes, still spreading paste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is for my bodybuilding clients moving weight. Just add water, stir it like a shake. That's all crack shit.
Yeah. And did I send you that photo? CJ?
No, I know I think
sent
so.
It to John. It was like, this is Pusha T drinking water, and it was just a Pyrex.
Yeah.
It's fucking funny. That's so good. That's super good.
But yeah, I like the beginning of the second verse where it's like, to all my young niggas, I'm your ghost and your ray. This is my purple tape. Save up for your rainy days.
It's
I'm
great.
Like,
God, it's such a.
It's great.
That's a deep cut.
Yep.
Double meaning.
Yep. Yeah.
Everything.
Yep. Yeah, that shit is so funny.
Yeah, you have to know. There's like three specific things about rap music you have to know.
And Prince.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Like very specific. Like,
it's good. I mean, even like the wordplay of shortening, like, you know, ghost and ray, which people have obviously done before, but like the way he's got in this, like, it's like, I'm your ghost and your ray. It's like, you know, like I'm, like, I don't know, I'm you once you're dead. And I'm like, I don't know, Ray like almost seemed like light to me too. Like I got like a light and a dark vibe from the way he like abbreviated those in that sentence or in that like line rather. I thought it's great.
And he And
this one's got a short chorus too. These are the games we play, we're the names they say.
Yeah, and then also like that beat.
So good.
It's so fucking
good. That might be the best beat.
It feels real vintage Kanye, but newer. Yeah. You know, like it's not like he found an old beat, but it sounded like he was making a beat like the way that he used to, but with the sort of picked up along
it's
the
not
way.
Chipmunk.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But it still looks like a soul beat.
Yep.
You know, like it still like comes with that sample.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I love.
It's I mean, it's just great.
Yeah.
again, this it's harder to review when everything rocks. Hard piano.
Rick Ross, I like his verse.
Brings in another coke rapper.
Yep.
Which
another coke rapper who's been accused of not being who he says he is, which we're going to get to in a little bit, I guess.
Ross,
we know wasn't a drug dealer.
Yeah, Ross and Pusha do really well together. They used to have a song called, it was like Millions on the Cillion, Choppers on the Floor. It was really dope. It was just a single. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with that chorus on this song. It's a little annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sample.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Especially the tone of the song. Like the beat's heavier,
uh-huh,
harder. Ross and Push are harder. And then this chorus is just kind of fruity in the middle.
Santo Domingo.
Yeah, it was. Okay, I'll say it was very stupid. The chorus is extremely stupid.
Yeah,
is that sample in it?
Yeah. I don't know what it's from.
Okay, so when I was first listening to the album, I just knew the track list. Uh-huh. I knew the track the names, but mm-hmm, I didn't know the order. So I totally thought this was Santeria.
No, oh, sure. Yeah, like,
oh,
because of that. Yeah. Well, Santeria, they've got that like Spanish chorus in it too.
No, that's how the team go. I'm back from Santo Domingo. That's where the Kings go down in Santo Domingo. Mm-hmm. Now that's how the team go back from Santo. Fuck. I mean, it's very out of place to me.
Yeah.
With how hard. And that's kind of where the seven songs comes in, is when you only have seven songs, one trip up can bring the percentage of how good the album is down.
I like this one. I listened to this album yesterday a few times, just like on like computer speakers, and then this morning when I was listening to it again, I like pumped it through like my like actual speakers, and this song sounded incredible on like real.
I like the beat a lot.
Yeah,
it's really just the chorus.
The verses are good too. Pusha T's verse, he brings up Harvey Weinstein and Matt Lauer, which are interesting, like Me Too stuff. Was that another thing? I'm just gonna keep going back to this NPR interview because it was incredible. It was very short and very, very good. The interviewer asked him directly about the Me Too movement and like whether or not like it's in hip hop, and I thought that Pusha T's comments on it were great. Like you know, like he says a couple of times, like. Like here, let me see if I can find it exactly. It's like, I don't feel like hip hop has been exempt. It's a real wake up call. Just listen, be mindful and do the right thing. There's no place for it. And it's a bit embarrassing to even have to say that. Like, don't do this. You know, it's sort of retarded, but hey, you know, it must be said and everyone's taking notice, which I thought was like really interesting. Like that, cause that is kind of the perspective that like a lot of, like the good people have. It's like, it's kind of ridiculous that we like have to say don't rape, but like we have to say don't rape.
Yeah,
Pusha T is on that side of this thing. Like another thing he said, like I come from a place where that stuff is really not okay.
Yeah,
let's see, where was that part of it at?
That's really cool to hear.
It was interesting.
Well, because he's hard, but for him to come out and still be like, all right, there's a line here.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I wish I knew exactly where that was.
The line's clearly not coke dealing.
But yeah, no, definitely deal coke.
But with drugs, you're only hurting yourself. You know?
Yeah. Unless you're a dealer.
Yeah, that's true.
Which he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
No, but seriously, like, I see what you mean, though. He's not.
Yeah.
There's a choice involved on both ends.
Right.
Exactly.
At very least. And with rape, there's.
Here's his other line.
Clearly, no choice.
That's something that's not even respected where I'm from, like, in any capacity at all.
Well, and that's funny to be said, because I think people have this perspective that somebody like him would hang around people that do that.
Yeah, sure. But I think that is probably true.
Yeah, but the fact that he has to come out and say, like, no, you're right. Like, that he's going to be like, no, I don't like those people.
Yeah.
Kind of speaks to the perspective.
Yeah, it's like, no, that's bad. Yeah. Like that's bad. It's like pretty, I don't know. It's interesting. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of unexpected for me.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't know. Pusha, he's always been able to do that. Even though he's always been like a coke rapper and whatever, he's at least. Like, what puts him above a lot of those trap rappers is that he's at least able to, you know, relate it to, like, actual things going on in society. Like, if you look at songs like Drug Dealers Anonymous, and, like, the way that, I mean, that was mostly Jay-Z.
I like that song.
I love that song so much. But, like, the way that he got, like, the Tommy Loren thing and all that
stuff.
Yeah. So it's not new.
No, it's,
yeah.
Yeah, no, Pusha's, that's really cool. I didn't know that interview happened. That's
really good.
The next song, Come Back Baby.
Yeah.
This song's got a great sample. D-boy.
Yeah.
This is some D-boy shit.
Yeah. right here. The contrast.
Yeah.
Because, like, the actual beat, like, you have the sample for the hook, and then the actual beat is almost all just sub-bass.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, really fucking grimy.
Mm-hmm.
And even his lyrics are just grimy as shit, too.
Yeah, it's George Jackson. It's a George Jackson. It's, like, the thing on Genius I read says that the song was recorded in 69, but wasn't released until 2011. Mm-hmm. So it's some, like, hidden soul track that, like, they found, some Crate Diggers found or whatever. Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah. That's... Well, did you listen to... He had a few interviews on The Breakfast Club. He was talking about how Kanye made this album.
Right.
Like, I saw he was on there and listened to it.
He was talking about how they did this resort in Utah.
Yeah.
First, before they went to
Jackson Hole. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's when they started working on the album. And then, like, it was like, was it like $8,000 a day? Like, something ridiculous. And what's his name? Pusha T. He paid for half of it because he's the president of good music.
It's funny. Mm-hmm.
And then like for the first 10 days, all Kanye was doing was just listening to samples and no beats.
That's cool.
No beats done.
That's cool though. You gotta listen to the samples.
Yeah, but Pusha T was freaking the fuck out.
That's really like, funny.
This is so much fucking money.
Well, and it's Kanye.
Yeah.
You don't know if he's gonna be like, you know what? No. Yeah, and then it's like, well, I gotta pay for
$80,000. Apparently that 10 days made Teyana Taylor all the beats were Teyana Taylor.
Okay.
And then it started clicking for
Pusha. Like another thing from that interview, like he was talking about how when they were in Jackson Hole, it was like Kanye and Cudi and Nas, like we're all there at the same time.
Wasn't and we'll
like
come
in a big house together. And just like they were told stories,
I think Migos had been there.
Yeah,
maybe
wasn't, but didn't. We'll go into this later.
Drake. Yeah,
Drake was there.
Yeah,
yeah.
So what's
part of that thing? Well, yeah.
we'll come to that.
Yeah, that's part of what Drake's feeling pissed about. I'm sure.
Yeah, fucking pussy.
But it's really fun to me to imagine like all those guys like in a house in Jackson Hole where like Kanye's in some room and they come in and out of the room with Kanye and they can hear each other's like playing stuff when they're like eating.
Somebody's brushing their teeth.
Yeah, they're eating fucking eggs. Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's the same thing as like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Exactly.
Except that was in Maui. He probably tried to.
I think so.
Which is a good sign because since Twisted Fantasy, other than Cruel Summer, I think Kanye pretty much threw bricks.
Yeah.
So it was good to see him
maybe
go back to the formula that had worked.
Yeah, go back to what works for sure. Yeah. And it's interesting too, like, you know, like Jackson Hole is so different from Maui. So like that's kind of interesting too, like to see like obviously My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy doesn't feel like an album that was made in Hawaii like at all really.
No.
But I don't know, like I just sort of wonder like what that
this doesn't could mean. Sound like because Slug of Atmosphere and Nas talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
You have winter albums and summer albums.
Yeah.
Albums that sound like winter. This doesn't sound like either actually to me, which is interesting because you think Jackson Hole they recorded it in the winter.
Right. But it's coming out in the summertime.
I mean, does it sound, Jackson's Hole's isolated.
Uh-huh. It is.
Does this album sound isolated?
I don't know. All these are pretty isolated human beings. You know what I mean? Like in their own way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's something that's kind of interesting, I guess.
So that song's Comeback Baby. I mean, that's just so.
And his flow on the fucking, like the whole like, dope just touchdown.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful. Numbers so low.
It's great.
Bitch be thankful. Like, I can't wait. Because I forgot.
That's like the beginning of the song, right?
Yeah. Just his fuck. I fucking forgot at that Red Rock show, Pusha T's opening.
Right.
Yeah.
For who?
Brother Nas. Ali, Pusha T.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, you want to go? It's Nas. Brother Ali, Pusha T, Black Star, and Nas.
What?
Yeah.
That's a crazy show.
Summer. Yeah.
Like it's probably sold out.
No.
There's still tickets available?
Yeah, I'm going to get one.
Did you guys get GAs? Or you guys,
just GA.
Okay. I'm going to grab one.
Dude, I might do that with you guys.
I honestly think, and I know I sound like a hater to these two, I think Black Star is going to really stunt the momentum.
Yeah. Especially with all these albums coming out.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have Brother Ali go first.
And he's going to tear it up.
Yeah.
He's amazing live.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pusha.
Yep. I think Black Star will be fine.
People love them.
They're super veteran. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
they might really have the show thing down.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
they
know.
Probably
like,
do.
Yeah, right? I feel like they probably, I don't know.
They
yeah.
probably do.
Okay.
Next
Santeria,
song.
Santeria, this is my second favorite song.
I think it's great.
Yeah, that because it's so fucking dark. Now that the tears dry and the pain takes over, let's talk payola. And the beat, and then there's that beat change in the middle of it.
The beat change is maybe one of the best beat changes I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
Because I was on the fence about this song.
Uh-huh.
It was good. I didn't hate it. But when that beat changed, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. This is fucking incredible. It's bold to name a song Santeria because there is another song named that.
Right. I know. So that's one of my favorite things about this is I love like imagining that like somewhere out there there's like a 42-year-old like dad who used to be like, you know, like cool dude, surfer, like jam band guy. He's like, "Hey Alexa, play Santeria." And he wants to hear "I don't practice Santeria" and just Pusha T comes on instead.
That's
I love
really
imagining
funny.
That. That's gonna happen.
It sucks that audiences won't know the Pusha T song because that's a good joke.
Yeah,
like that's
yeah,
a good.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but like, so I mean, I read that and I was like, because I like the Sublime song Santeria.
I do too. I like Sublime,
and I was like, but this is you killed God's baby when it wasn't His will, and blood spill. We can't talk this shit over. this shit over.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. I am not sheep. It's just like, I'm listening to that. Different. Like, yeah. Like, wow.
So whereas, yeah, whereas Sublime is like, I don't practice Santeria. King Push, or Pusha T rather, is like, I dabble in Santeria. We do blood sacrifices.
We do blood sacrifices. Yeah. Triple back. They rush in like Soviets at the Kremlin searching for the green like a gremlin. Presidential emblem, presidential tent on the shit that I'm driven in. Ah!
That's great.
Just pop, pop, pop. Yep. I mean, he just...
Well, that's why I think this like 22-minute album length is perfect.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
I'm on board with it. I prefer it.
Yeah, because I like it because this is an hour's worth of bars as far as like...
Oh, yeah.
As far as like just like great lines. Like,
yeah.
Without getting too wordy either.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's great about
that's
it.
That's the thing that I fucking love about this album is that even though it's like 20 minutes, it's so fucking dense. And it still can qualify for a Grammy.
As an album.
Yeah. So, it's not an EP. It's an album.
Yeah, because it's 5 songs, minimum 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what qualifies as album. Fuck, dude, I'm gonna put out a fucking album.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, we should put out this podcast.
Yeah, as the rhyme goes
as
on,
an album. Yeah. Just put a beat behind it.
Yeah. Well, I think they might have a Grammy Awards for
spoken
podcasts.
Word. There's a spoken word category.
Yeah.
This would probably this is technically.
I apologize
word.
To all the fucking other podcasts when we sweep that shit next year.
There's a comedy one too.
The second verse is about his buddy that died, Davon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
his manager.
Yeah, exactly.
So this, he does a chorus on the Royce the 5'9" album.
Who does?
Pusha T.
Oh, okay.
He didn't do a verse because I think this guy died.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Because Royce was like, he was supposed to send me in a verse.
And then he couldn't.
But his manager died.
Which is cool.
Or somebody died.
That's fine.
And so Push was like, I'm sorry. And Royce is like, that's okay.
Yeah. Royce seems like a nice guy.
So this is, I was, it was interesting to hear this actually come up on here.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
Leave you like Malcolm where Eck marks your grave.
Yeah.
Hey, it's probably better this way. It's cheaper when Chaplin prays Santa. Yeah, this song is... That beat change, though. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even towards the top of that, it's like you listen to Davon as I'm talking to your spirit. For God's sakes, I'm dealing with heartbreak. Like, he's pretty vulnerable about that on this.
Yeah.
Which is not him.
No.
His brother...
Yeah.
Super vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's the one who decided to just say, like, fuck all this crack rap shit. Coke rap.
Yeah, and he left.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm not rapping about any of that.
Yeah, to the listeners out there, listen to the DJ Vlad No Malice interview.
Yep.
And it'll fill you in kind of on on what why the clips aren't really, they're still really close. They're brothers.
Yeah.
But great song. Okay.
Yeah. And then the next song, What Would Meek Do?
Terrible song title.
Well, they wanted Meek Mill on this.
Yeah.
And it just couldn't work out.
They felt bad.
Yeah. All right, it's been out for like 3 weeks. Him.
Yeah, but he's with his kid.
Okay, when
it's like you drop one verse, put it in a phone.
Real quick, I want to. It's a good song, though.
Yeah, it is a good song.
You mentioned earlier, CJ.
Yeah.
The Kanye beat sounded updated, old Kanye.
Yes,
I think this verse sounds updated, old Kanye.
Okay,
Kanye's verse.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the graduation, late registration, grown up.
Yeah,
it's got the weird kind of pop culture-y references,
and it's like a regular verse, which he honestly hasn't done a ton of in the last few years.
I mean, he kind of teases it with the poop scoop.
He does. Yeah.
Did anybody else start thinking when he started saying
that? Well,
that's
what that's got to be what it is,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. 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 I mean,
except he just goes whoop instead of poop.
He actually, it was really funny because Charlamagne, he was talking about. I don't remember if it was a Breakfast Club interview or like something on his podcast, but he played that poopity scoop song.
Yeah.
With Charlamagne. During that that interview, that 3 hour long thing or whatever, or hour long thing. And then Charlamagne's like, what the fuck is that? And he was like, oh, it's a reference track. So apparently it's a reference track for his verse here.
That's funny.
That's fucking funny as shit.
Yeah.
That's fucking funny as shit.
It is an interesting verse coming from Kanye, though. I mean, you know, like the word MAGA does appear in it.
Yes. Yeah. If you ain't driving black, do they stop you? Will MAGA hats let me slide like a drive through? So what is he foreshadowing?
I don't know, man.
This is all very set up.
Yeah. I think so.
These rollouts.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes in here. There's this slick reference to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets out. But he references racial profiling.
Yeah.
I read a crazy Twitter thread where this guy put together this whole long conspiracy theory about Kanye and what he's doing and how he believes that it's performance art that's inspired by a couple of really specific performance artists from the 20th century. And it was fascinating as shit, and I think might be a real thing. Like,
is it the Andy Kaufman thing?
Part of it's in Andy Kaufman's one of the references. The other guy is this guy named Daniel. I think it's Daniel Bruise or Broys or something like that. He was this German artist who came to America. He's the guy who you might have heard about this. It's kind of like a famous performance art thing. He locked himself in a room with a coyote. like in New York City for like a week, and then there's like a bunch of photographs that were taken from like this this like being locked in a room with a coyote, and it's sort of this idea of like getting close to things that are dangerous. It was like part of like what that guy was trying to talk about.
I see what you mean.
And that guy was also making like a political standpoint about like, because coyote was like representing like this like classic wild American spirit, mm-hmm. and like how like stifling the coyote in this room is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then what's the end goal of what Kanye is doing?
Well, that's what's unclear, but okay.
Il MAGA.
But it might, I mean, I don't know, like, there's a lot of this that's going on, or not a lot, but there's some of this that's going on, like, even from last year, from the story of OJ video, mm-hmm. like, where there's, like, all that, like, sort of, like, reappropriation of classical racist imagery, mm-hmm. like, that's what that entire video is, you know, like, and, like, that, like, there's, I don't know, there's, like, some... There's some indication that that is almost what Kanye is doing. Like, he's done that with the Confederate flag, trying to reappropriate the Confederate flag.
He tried to do that with
the flag. I know.
And he's...
I don't know, man.
One thing, a couple things. Kanye is a brilliant songmaker.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Doesn't mean you're fucking brilliant everywhere else.
Yeah. I think he wants to be.
More than anything. Yeah. He wants to be Picasso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Picasso was a brilliant artist.
Uh-huh. And not a
Picasso
brilliant
did not else. Hold political office.
That's true.
Like, it's change the world the way you best can change the world.
Yeah.
Because these interviews he does are nonsensical.
Yeah.
And if he's playing a character there, okay, fine. But if that's how he really is and he's going to translate that type of communication to anything else, to some big rollout.
Yeah.
I hope the coyote ate that guy, did he?
No.
Oh.
Coyote did not eat that guy. I don't know. I guess it seems like that rollout would probably end with his album.
It ends with Nas.
It ends with Nas.
Is Nas's after Kanye's?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is the way to do it.
It is. It is probably the way to do it. I almost wonder if maybe the rollout still is, or like of like whatever this plan, if he has one at all, whatever that plan might be, might actually end with his album, so that Nas's can just be an album that people will listen to. Like that might be like an additional like level of like respect on it towards Nas, and being like, I'm not gonna drag your album too far into my shit.
Yeah.
Well, Nas is a guy that might still sick some goons on you for fucking up his rollout. But I think the Nas album goes last because Nas has always been criticized for his beat picking.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think the thing about this record makes me so fucking excited. Because, like, with Kanye, he specifically, like, it's even, I don't know, it's just so Pusha. This album, the beats are so Pusha T.
It's what you want from Pusha T.
Exactly. And I feel like he's going to really tailor this for Nas, and I can't wait to hear that sound. Because the thing that I didn't like about like Nas's last album, it felt like it was just recreating Illmatic.
And
like
that's
having
fair.
Large Professor and stuff like that, but it wasn't necessarily like...
Wasn't innovative.
Exactly.
And I like that he did that too, because Jay classically said, want my old shit, buy my old albums. It's the whole thing like...
Yeah.
The Chronic comes out today. People are going to be like, Dre.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear the synth anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's... Yeah. Although I don't think Nas was specifically doing that.
No.
I don't think he set out to be like, look, you don't want... But
you have like Large Professor on almost all the beats. Like, that was what he was like trying to do, is bring back that old sound.
But if you want to bring back an old sound, you have to bring back an old sound in a new way.
Yeah.
You can't just take old beats and try to make it... Like, it's not going to sound new. It's going to sound old.
Right. Also, this is coming from someone who thought Life Was Good. Life Is Good is just like, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't really like that album.
Yeah.
I liked it too long.
It's too long, and
but I liked it.
Yeah, there's like a few songs
like
that are
three
really
times
like.
As long as this Pusha T album.
Yeah, and I'm hoping with this we're gonna wait to get to Infrared here for another. We'll wrap up the thoughts on this album and then go into Infrared because it's gonna tie to the larger conversation. I hope this is the catalyst to people making shorter albums.
Yeah.
Kanye West is largely a dipshit in a lot of ways, but when it comes to albums and musical changes and musical shifts, he's very ahead, and he always has been.
Yep.
So maybe this is a way of saying people are streaming now. They have ADD on their phone. You've pointed that out before.
Yeah.
Let them get in and get out.
Well, even in Yeezus, he was already ahead of that. Like, he said that the reason why he didn't have an album cover was because this is the last CD he's ever going to drop.
And
like physical
thus
CD.
Far, that's been true.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Physical copy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he made Life of Pablo, which you had to follow a map and dig it up on a beach.
Yep.
And then play it.
Still went platinum. Worse.
Yeah. God. Because Tidal bought 800,000 copies.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing.
Yeah. Now they're getting sued for all that.
I know.
They fucking should.
No, but I think, especially with older rappers, I think this is perfect.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect for a lot, but like with older rappers coming back, because Jay-Z, his album was short as fuck. It was like 34 minutes.
Yeah,
minutes.
It was.
Yeah. Like, and I think that's all you need. Just give us the good shit and then leave.
Yeah, I mean, if at the end of the summer we get a tight 7-track Nas album that has amazing beats and Nas on it, it's going to be incredible.
No, that's what I mean, how many albums do we review that we're like, it's too long?
Mm-hmm. It's just, a lot.
It's too long. And yeah. There's albums that would be great, just trimmed down. You don't even have to add anything.
Yeah. Even like the first one we did together, that Rhapsody album was really good, and almost all the songs on it are really good, but it could have been 3 tracks shorter, easy.
And that's why I don't go back to it as much.
Yeah.
Because I go back to it, but I have
too,
to
actually.
Skip around.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Like
I
add songs to playlists on the fly is
really,
what I do.
I can't straight through it because it is too long. Yeah. And it is a good Layla's Wisdoms.
Yeah, it's real good. Okay, so now we're going to talk about. What's the song?
Infrared. He serves him.
Which, number one, that transition.
It's good. Yeah.
The transition from What Would Meek Do all the way to this.
It's real effortless. It's like a, it's a, yeah. I don't it feels like one track. It. Yeah.
He's, for one, it's the lyric pennant equal to the Trump's winning. I do have a problem with that because it's very hard to knock on Trump when the guy making your beats.
Yeah, that's what I thought was really
rocks
weird.
Around with a MAGA hat. I mean, I really think it's like, how much do you believe in it? Like,
so that's indicative of one of two things. It's indicative of so what it means for sure is that Pusha T knows more about Kanye than we do. Mm-hmm. And so it either means that like the fact that they completely disagree on everything politically, like if that's like really like the truth of it, either that doesn't affect their friendship, and like hey guys, pay attention, this doesn't need to affect everything in your life,
and that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Or it means that there's some other game at play here.
Yeah
I think it's mostly the first one.
I think it's probably mostly the first one too.
I
think that's one of the things that Kanye might be trying to communicate with all that shit also, which it's probably super misguided.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But I do think that that's what he's going after.
Right.
I don't know.
I think...
Well, also, you have to remember Pusha T was, like, this is weird, but fucking vouching for Hillary.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He full-blown endorsed Hillary Clinton.
He didn't just fall back. I mean, he was out there.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was
like,
out there.
Like campaigning and stumping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, the lyrics, I mean, there's a difference between him and Drake's disses.
For sure.
This diss is colder. This diss is,
it's dismissive.
This diss is, it's got much more of a look, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You're fake. And we know it.
Yeah.
And Drake's diss is basically in a roundabout way. Just some arrogant guy.
Yeah, but some of his brags are pretty cool.
That's the thing. It's brags. Pushes his whole, take the brags out. I know who you are.
Yeah.
And
it is interesting. Whenever there's like rap beef stuff, I'm always kind of torn between whether it's more powerful to say the name of the person you're beefing with or to not. Because there's definitely like a status game at play there. Mm-hmm. You know, like Pusha T does not say Drake. He says Quentin. Like it's obvious who he's talking about. He says Bird. I think
he kind of has the more hard bars for Birdman.
Yeah.
I thought.
Well, Birdman's detestable. Everybody hates Birdman.
Yes.
Yeah. It was it like now it's cool to kill. You guys looked at me like I really killed a baby. Like,
yeah.
Fuck that.
I know.
Yes. That was.
It's great.
Whew.
Yeah.
And then
when he was like talking about Ross. Oh yeah, Ross is cool, but like I've been dissing this dude for 10 years.
Well, dude, and the Clips co-signed Birdman as an artist.
Yeah. Back
in
when
2003 with Whatever Happened to That Boy. Mm-hmm. He was talking shit. We had to put it like that song's tight, but that's a Clip song that they essentially, it was on Birdman's album, but it sounds like a song that they were like here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, but that's my favorite thing about this beef right now. It's like people don't understand like how long this is just
forever.
Right.
Like you brought it up earlier. Mr. Me Too.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys remember like 8 years ago, Lil Wayne tweeting out, fuck Pusha T and everybody that love him.
Yes.
Yep.
Like this is a deep seated disdain.
Beef. Yep.
Like and it's, they do not like each other.
And it's interesting too because it's a lot of it is starts from Birdman, which is interesting because those guys are like, I mean, Wayne's like on the outs with Birdman. Obviously, they are all kind of on the outs with Birdman, but like still like the but they're still on the label, you know, like which is part of what the issue is. But like it's interesting, like he's still aiming at them as if they're like a tight crew, and they're not.
No, they're not.
Well, I think that's what makes it even harsher.
Maybe.
Right.
Is because it's
like mocking their broken friendships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's for those that don't know, this album came out yesterday and Drake already had a diss.
Yeah.
Which means Drake knew
Or he heard the leak.
Yeah, somebody.
Or he has ghostwriters.
Because Drake's, and the only reason I brought up the thing about Pusha, I think Drake's diss is incredible. I think it's great.
I think it's great.
I just think
it's
everybody,
a fun song.
I think everybody quickly started dismissing this.
Yeah.
And I think they're missing the point. I think a lot of people are missing how heavy Pusha really actually.
Drake had to say something, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Drake's diss is good.
Yeah, Drake's diss is really good.
It's good.
The whole, like, you'll get another 20K listens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So send me the invoice now. I know. And then the invoice is, like, promotion and career reviving.
I know.
Dude, and Drake, when he's beefing with people, his extracurricular, like, when he gave Meek the participation award.
Yeah.
He goes in.
He does.
See, here's the thing that makes Drake great at beef, is that... You know how he's petty with the girls that he dates?
Sure. Yeah.
He puts that same pettiness into the beefs.
Do you know what? And I've said this. Drake, not stylistically, Drake is the 50 Cent of the next generation.
Yeah.
That's how 50 Cent
He does beef with everybody. Yeah. You're right. It is exactly how.
It was petty. Yeah. It was low blows.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then it was, I still have more money.
Yep.
So fuck you.
Yep.
And
this
he does.
This will stream everywhere. Yeah.
And 50 would do the extra, the pimpin' curly he did with Ross when he was pimpin' curly.
Oh, yeah. 50 Cent. That's so
but
funny.
But, like, I mean, really go into, like, your personal life.
Well, he released his sex tape.
Yeah.
That's why he had to file for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And, but Drake does that, too. The production on the Drake song's really good.
Yeah. I sent that to Z Carrera, friend of... Mm-hmm. The episode. Let me see.
He'll be reviewing the Kanye album with us.
Yeah.
Zeke is the Denver comedy resident Kanye.
He has the Life of Pablo tattooed on his forearm. Yeah, like the merch design.
Yeah.
So I sent him. I sent him the Duppy Fear style, and then he was like, "I don't understand. What's he mad about? And why is this over the days over our lives theme song?"
Bodied Drake.
That's so good.
Zeke just bodied Drake. Drake better hope that doesn't get out.
That's so funny.
And then we were talking about the, I said of the Instagram post, and then afterwards he was like, my first album is going to be the Hotel Chris Farley died in.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh my God.
Did he post that?
I saw him do that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he posted it somewhere.
Okay.
I saw it.
He sent me that. I don't know. I was out
It's a deep cut reference.
It is.
But this beef will be weird because, for one, you used ghostwriters.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know that. And
he admits to it in the first line.
Yeah, he.
So you rebuke me for working with someone else on a couple V's. What do you really think of the guys that's making your beats? Like, he basically admits in that first line to working with someone else on a couple V's.
He throws in that slick line about Kanye West.
I know. He immediately
that was good.
Dude, that immediately changes it.
And you know what's brilliant about that line? Like, your father stretched his hands. Like, he literally puts every single song that Kanye shouted him out.
30 hours is in this verse.
There are tweets where Kanye's like, thank you, Drake, for helping me with these songs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's why I think, like, Pusha doesn't really get it as hard. Like, there's more bars for Pusha.
Uh-huh.
But the Kanye
hurts a little bit more.
It's detrimental to Kanye because Push is still going to always be, through people like us, held in high regard.
It's true.
But Kanye, people are consistently on the fence with.
Yeah.
And Drake's, and for him to say, and kind of what's good about that is he's saying, you can't diss me for it because you're rolling with
this guy.
You're rolling with that guy.
Yeah.
Which is a very good way to just kind of dismiss
everything.
Sometimes the best arguments are using somebody's own words against them.
Totally. There's a lot of that in hip-hop beef, you know, like a lot of times a guy will use someone's own line to like flip it around and get them on it.
That's what they'll do. So does anybody else jump in here?
I don't know.
I think
No Malice should. Well, did you see his tweet?
Who, Malice?
Yeah, it was not Malice. Who's the guy who writes for him?
Quentin Miller.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, because, well, he had that.
Quentin
No
Miller
Malice
writes for Drake.
Yeah.
I said that for the listen, like, people are listening.
But No Malice, he had a good line about that, where he was talking about that Vlad interview where he was like, Pusha T was just, like, the third string, like, not really involved with any of this drug shit. Like,
oh,
Drake
references
in this.
He does. He does call him out on that a little bit.
But my favorite thing is with Quentin Miller. He's like, he was working at Kroger.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of disses Quentin Miller. And he's like,
So that's for Q-Man. Yeah. That changed his life a couple of times. He was at Kroger working double time.
And then after that, what does he say? He says something along the lines of,
y'all acting like you made the boy when I was trying to help the guy. Yeah, who gassed you to play with me, man? You made this shit as easy as ABCs.
And then he has a line where he's like talking about the hits that he made. Like, Quentin.
Here it is. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
Whoever's supposedly making me hits, but then got no hits, sound like they need me. It is. He does kind of diss it. That is kind of weird.
He calls him a nobody. He basically says, that guy's lyrics don't exist without me.
Yeah.
Essentially. And
my hooks did it. My lyrics did it. My spirit did it. I'm fearless with it.
The thing Pusha T could do now is if he could diss Drake with Quentin Miller.
Oh my God.
Get him over
there. That would probably be the big get of all of this.
One of the funniest things, Quentin Miller yesterday, he tweeted a picture of the actual grocery store. It wasn't Kroger. It was something else, like a really, really just...
Yeah. Some local grocery store.
He's like,
whatever,
this is the one I work at. That's funny.
That is funny. So what's the next? So Teyana Taylor's the next one out, or is it the Cudi Kanye one?
Which one?
I think it's
Kanye, right?
No, the Kanye Cudi one comes out before Kanye's solo album.
So June 2nd's the next one.
That's next week.
Yeah.
Is that Kanye Cudi?
I don't know.
What's the album called? Please Be the Year 2005. So nobody cares about this album.
Let me find.
So Cudi has been involved with this before too. Drake pretty famously dissed Cudi and like made fun of his depression, which is pretty fucked up.
Well, because it was right after he checked into the hospital.
Exactly, and it was right around the same time that Lil Wayne came out talk about how he's dealt with depression and anxiety too. So it was extra tasteless. It's rap beefing, but it was a little extra.
But
so I think there's a chance that Kanye and Cudi together do a little rebuttal.
Cudi was yapping on stage about those guys though.
And
I'm not dismissing what Drake said, but Drake's kind of sitting back going, hey, I don't make that line if he keeps his fucking mouth shut.
It's fair.
It's rap beef.
Everyone's at fault in rap beef. That's how rap beef is.
That's why I fucked your bitch.
That's the opening line.
Yeah. Oh, and everything about sickle cell with Prodigy. Yeah. Tupac used to do that shit all the time.
People have talked
I think just
about,
people are more sensitive and more aware now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
50 Cent to Ja Rule says, that bitch you chasing, you little dirty ass kids, I'll fucking erase them.
Yeah.
And everybody at the time was like, I'm going to bump my head to this shit. This is tight.
That's a murder threat.
But I don't think Drake should have made that line about Cudi in hindsight.
No,
I didn't at the time either. It was really stupid. The guy's in the mental institution. And
I
make fun of Cudi a lot. I was a big Cudi fan when he came out. And I don't know where the disconnect, we were talking about it earlier, but I don't know where the disconnect with him and fans happened. It just... Because I don't think the quality of the music dwindled. I don't, but...
I don't know. I think there was, a certain... There was a kind of fuck it vulnerability to those two Man on the Moon albums. Where it's I'm going to be super vulnerable because fuck it.
Yeah.
And it's I'm still getting high. I'm still partying. I'm still doing my shit.
And nobody was sounding like him.
And it was new. It was a new sound at the time, too. And then as he started to be more genuinely introspective, he got to, he wasn't able to be so fuck it about his
He also
his vulnerability.
This weird obsession with Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know this. And
that's that we made that grungy album, which is Garbo.
The Bullet to Heaven.
So bad.
He tried to make a fucking grunge album.
Yeah, his album's next, June 1st.
The Cudi one?
Kanye.
Oh, Kanye's is next.
Right?
Yeah. And then Cudi and Kanye is June 8th.
I wish he would I wish he would flip those. I'd rather anticipate.
Me too.
I'd rather anticipate the Kanye album
a little bit
more. But maybe to your point, he's just look, he probably put Pusha first because it's this is the one everybody's been hounding me about.
Yeah, it's been a couple years in the making.
Is the Pusha T album. So let's do that first. But then the Kanye one's probably, let's get this out of the way so it doesn't overshadow.
So Kanye is fucking next week.
Kanye West comes out next week.
Holy shit.
So what do we review? We need to sit with Kanye for a week.
You think so?
Do we?
I don't know.
It depends what it's
so
like.
Short.
It depends
what
it's like.
That I like about it because you can listen to these 7 tracks and have a really good opinion about it.
So do we do ASAP? What do we?
I'm not sure. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
How about we'll do ASAP the week of Teyana Taylor?
Okay.
Yeah, because I'll listen to Teyana Taylor.
You won't? You're straight not going to listen to it?
I don't care. What does she do? Does she sing?
Yeah,
I'm not fucking listening to that.
It could be good.
So gorgeous, though.
If the production's good, it could be really good.
There's a
chance in my mind that a song off of her album is some Song of the Summer type shit. Because that's the kind of stuff that more... It's probably going to be a little broader. For a broader
audience.
Oh, it'll
be a pop.
Yeah, exactly.
Pop album.
So I think there's a chance that there's something real good on there that lots of people like.
No one's talking about how his album's supposed to come out on...
No, it's weird.
Nobody. But that's nobody was talking about this album until two days ago.
And also, I think it's because we don't necessarily trust those dates.
Yeah.
I trust it now.
I trust it now, too.
Did we get an album title?
No.
Kanye West presents...
We didn't get Daytona until Wednesday.
Yeah.
No, well, because... Hopefully... Let's guess. What's the name of Kanye
West? Oh, yeah, we do. Love Everybody.
Is that the name?
I mean, that's what he said. That's true. And put his doctor, the doctor that killed his mom, on the cover is what he said he's gonna do.
Yeah,
that is a topic that is so heavy.
I know.
In so many ways that
it's kind of wild.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's hard to approach.
Yeah, and he, I bet the cover of the album. I'd like to see the bear come back.
No,
the bear will never be back.
The bear's done.
The bear's done.
I don't like the bear.
No, it's
the bear's corny.
If he's doing this Whitney shit.
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah. He's not gonna put a cartoon bear.
He's not gonna put the dude on the cover.
No, he is.
He might.
That guy wrote him. Didn't he say he's not gonna do
the
it?
The guy
wrote him a letter.
Did you read the letter?
Yeah,
it's a super interesting letter.
Yeah, yeah. Kanye's not doing this.
The guy like asked really politely, like, please don't do this. But then the rest of the letter was about like really appreciating Kanye's forgiveness. Like, it was really really interesting. There's something really
Kanye
interesting.
Kanye tweeted the letter
here.
And basically said, "I'm not."
Yeah, did he?
Did he?
Okay. Yeah, he tweeted the letter.
Still, my God, love everybody, though.
And he's not going to do that. There's controversy with an album, and then there's that.
Legal trouble.
Yeah. And you can't. Yeah. One of the things, because when Nas was going to name his album The N-Word, mm-hmm. one of the things that they told him is they said, you can't make an album nobody can sell.
Mm-hmm. You can't talk about it on the radio.
You just can't do that. Yeah. Like, people have to. Other people have put money into this. Yeah. You're being too facetious.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that? Sorry to interrupt you. Did you ever see, there was a documentary on Netflix for a while called A Band Called Death? It was about like a punk rock band from DC, or from DC, I think, or Chicago, like 15 years before the Ramones. And it was these black guys, these brothers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was like three black brothers basically invented punk rock before the people who we say invented punk rock punk rock. They recorded one album. It was never released. And then like the lead singer died. And so like it was all over.
Can you get it?
I think they did a reproduction of it. I think it's a vinyl only kind of a deal.
That makes sense. I was wondering.
It's on Spotify.
Is it?
And so like one of the things in the documentary that was great is their band name was Death. They were called Death. And so like they had a huge pushback because like they're like, for that exact same reason, like you can't sell an album called Death in the early 70s. Or like the late 60s or whenever it was. It was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
That's really good. The music holds up.
I want to hear that. KMD was MF Doom's group before he was MF Doom with his cousin.
Yeah.
And they had a guy lynched on the album cover. Mm. Cartoon drawing.
Yeah.
Album got shelved. His cousin died. Mm. He was Zev Love X. And then later on we got
MF
we
Doom.
Now know as MF Doom. But I love MF Doom. It is weird.
Victor Vaughn, all his other.
Yeah.
That's where he goes.
Yeah.
But that's I want to see that documentary. But this album overall might be the best one this year.
It could be.
I think. I don't know if I'm.
It's real strong.
Yeah. I just got to sit with it.
I'm definitely going to come back and listen to it a bunch.
And it's easy to go back and listen
to 20 minutes.
Hopefully this starts the trend. We've now got this trend of announce the album, 7 to 14 days before it comes out.
Yeah.
That's why Nicki Minaj just fucked up.
Yeah.
This 2 month rollout, everybody in their mind just checked out on that album.
It's fair.
They're like, all right, I'm done.
Yep.
But this, like, ASAP, we knew 10 days ago, the album cover.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the next trend is very concise,
yep.
Very short.
Yep.
Keep it clean.
I mean, it's all about whether or not they can control leaks. Like, that's been a big problem in the past, is like, trying to keep something on lock. I mean, this album did leak, but I mean, it leaked 8 hours before
release.
And
that's fine, but not pressing albums beats leaks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's
true.
That's
a good point.
The whole thing.
Yeah, it stays on your zip drive or your hard drive rather until you're ready to upload it to Spotify.
Yeah. That can do it, but this is good. The Kanye Drake beef, or the beef. Kanye needs to.
I think he's going to weigh in. I think he's got
to
weigh
in. Kanye needs to spit back.
But here's the thing. How much does it conflict with his love everybody thing that he might actually earnestly as a human being be trying to do right now?
He's going to come out and say he loves Drake. You're totally right.
He might. He really might come out. He might come out with a song about how much he loves Drake.
And Push is like, yo, I say we fucking.
Yeah.
Push is like, I say we
pull. Well, that was the thing about like Push's with Infrared is like, he talks about, he's like, yo, I'm cool with Kanye working with you.
Yeah.
I just don't fuck with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just you and me. But I don't know. With the Kanye thing, because the only thing that we got from this new album Kanye has that actually sounds like it's going to be on the album is that TMZ freestyle. Got off of Amistad, made Amagad.
What about the T.I. joint?
No, because that one was done the same day. like that.
It's that one's a Rush job. It's yeah, a good, that was a it's Rush a cool track, but it's a Rush job.
Yeah, that TMZ freestyle, even though the beat is just like someone on a keyboard just playing one note, but like you can tell that verse is gonna. That's a full verse.
Yeah, that's
That's a freestyle.
Like how Royce's Funk Flex one was on the album.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. And then like I have no clue.
So real quick, the Kanye album before we wrap up, since that is the next thing. Yeah, coming basically. Out.
We'll figure it out.
What do you want from it? Do you want any guest appearances?
I don't know. I have no expectations.
No Jay-Z, though. I don't think. No Jay-Z.
I want him to talk about Jay-Z.
He better.
Yeah.
He won't.
He might.
I doubt he will.
You think so? You really think
he
won't?
If he does, it won't be. If he does, it won't be any sort of response.
Yeah.
It'll be just a reference.
The continual referential thing that he's always done with a guy like Jay-Z. It's possible. I don't know. I mean,
what if he does the Big Brother apology?
Yeah,
Big Brother 2.
Yeah,
stadium status.
Dude, Big Brother 2 could be a very interesting thing.
Big Brother 2, I would laugh.
Yeah,
big time.
Yeah,
because I laugh at Big Brother 1 a lot.
I like that song.
I don't like that.
The chorus is bad, but I like the chorus. Do you? I don't like the chorus.
Did a song with Coldplay.
My Big Brother was Big's brother. I don't like that.
I like the chorus. Oh, well, we talked about it. I like the chorus because it's a very hip-hop.
If you know hip-hop,
hip-hop,
you know, brother,
no
ID.
What are you trying to say?
No ID, my man. Totally. You know it. You get it.
I know, yeah. I do. I just don't like it.
Yeah, that's fair. No problem.
Yeah,
I just think that's not the right closer to the album.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right for sure.
Yeah, Good Night, that bonus track. It's only on Apple Music as far as streaming
that's
services.
That's good. I had not listened to it till
I told you to, right?
And it's great. It's really good.
That's how that album should have ended.
I think he should have started Graduation with Drunken Hot Girls and ended with Drunken Hot Girls. I think
it should have
been on.
What if this new album is just 7
Pooper Scoop?
No, Drunken Hot Girls.
A good album.
It'll be the greatest album
good
of
album.
All time.
Good.
I'll buy a MAGA
good music.
Hat.
And then we don't know if you heard that there's this joke online. R.A. the Rugged Man retweeted it that the Nas album produced by Kanye is called Ill MAGA.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Ill MAGA.
Yeah, we're over an hour, so I think we can cut this.
Let's rock.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much.
CJ.
Dude, thanks for having me.
He'll be back on the ASAP Rocky episode.
Ow. Yeah, we don't know when we'll
whenever we do that. He'll
eventually.
Be back.
Yeah. And anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I got a bunch of shit coming up.
All right.
Let's see. I'm going to be in a play at the Museum of Contemporary Art.
We don't plug that shit.
it's still a thing that I'm doing. I am on... I'm hosting a bunch of events at Denver Comic Con this year.
Oh, nice.
For the second year in a row, I'm going to be on E-Town Live in Boulder Thursday the 21st. Yeah, Cody Spiker's show.
Oh, I'm on
show.
That with you.
We're on that show together? Hell yeah.
Great. Cody, our friend Cody Spiker, she runs it. Fucking awesome show. If you're in Boulder.
We should get her to review the Nas album.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
No, we're not going to get her to review the Nas album.
I'm on some show at the Dickens Opera House. I don't know. That's enough.
Where can they find you online for these dates?
CJ Willard on Facebook. It's basically the only place I do anything like that. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Friend him.
All right. Bye.